Welcome once again to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Keith Shortall, in this week for Erwin Gratz, and alongside our political gurus Steve Missler and Mal Leary. Gentlemen, hello.
Hello.
Morning.
So, like it or not, we all know that money matters in political races. The latest campaign reports in the U.S. Senate race now show incumbent Susan Collins continuing to build her considerable war chest, Steve, but the news here is that one of her Democratic challengers is raising even more of late.
Yeah, that's right. So Senator Collins is really sitting on a mountain of cash, $8.6 million cash on hand. She also raised $2.1 million in the last quarter that ended at September 30th. But Sarah Gideon actually outpaced her in the last quarter. She had $3.2 million in donations, and she's sitting on about $2.7 million in cash. So Collins, according to her campaign, raised the most money of any candidate in Maine history. But Gideon is closing the gap, if you will.
Gideon's the House Speaker and one of four Democrats.
Right. She's one of four Democratic candidates. Quite frankly, none of her Democratic rivals are approaching even that level of financial support.
And I'm not sure that the numbers we've got on Collins are really reflective yet, because we've had this whole series of fundraisers all across the country that she's held in October. Mm-hmm. So that's going to really boost her money up. So I think, you know, when you look at this, these numbers are just going to grow and grow and grow.
That's right. I mean, they're already talking about this being one of the most expensive race in Maine history. It's already trending that way. To Mal's point, Sarah Gideon is attending a fundraiser in Rhode Island with some U.S. Senate senators there, as well as some bigwigs in Rhode Island Democratic politics.
As early as it is, there's also something to be learned by how the money is being spent.
I mean, what's really interesting about this is obviously where the money comes from. That can tell you a little bit about what they're doing. But more importantly, I think, is how they spend it. And in Gideon's case, what she has done, or her campaign has done, is she's spending a lot of money to make more money. She spent almost $750,000 basically buying lists from a DC consulting group called Aisle 518, which essentially helps candidates reach donors from all over the country, help them tap this wellspring of small dollar donors, which seem to come from all over the place, but it also, you know, can be used to imply grassroots support, even though all that support may not be coming from Maine. And on Collins's side, she's also spent money to make more money, but she's also done some things that are very interesting too. Like she's hosted banquets in Maine with groups like the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine and the Maine Heritage Policy Center, which is a conservative advocacy group, basically trying to shore up support here. And the other interesting thing that Collins's campaign did is they spent money on two polls in September. And that is significant because it coincided with what is a very perilous situation for Senator Collins, and that's the impeachment inquiry. If you recall, in September is when this whole thing just exploded. One could assume that these polls were basically to try to get a sense of where the Mainers are, how they're coming down as that news is coming up, and so the campaign can respond accordingly.
I would guess, but we won't know for sure, that already independent expenditures are running ahead of the actual candidates in this particular race. They're going to have a huge impact. They've had a huge impact in 2016 and 2018. They're probably going to spend more money from these independent dark money PACs, as we like to call them, then the candidates will raise, even with this record-setting pace of Senator Collins.
That's right.
And they have no control over the messaging of those.
And, you know, that's interesting. We should just explain real quick that these independent groups that Mal's referring to play a much different role than the candidates themselves. The candidates, if you watch what they've been doing over the last few years when, you know, independent expenditures have just exploded in terms of how much money is spent, the independent expenditure groups basically do a lot of the dirty work that the campaigns don't want to be associated with. So they're going to be attacking Senator Collins from the left and vice versa on the right. And while the campaigns will just be sort of running around, running biographical ads, either introducing themselves to Mainers, as it would be the case for Sarah Gideon, or in Susan Collins' instance, reminding them of who she is and how, you know, all the good things that she's done for Maine from her perspective.
Mal, there were a couple of polls released this week, including one from Public Policy Polling, that suggests that Collins is in a real pickle on this impeachment issue. What's the indicator there? What's the issue?
Well, her approval-disapproval rating has changed dramatically. in both this poll and in a morning consult poll. And that is just where people say she's doing a good job or a bad job. Well, her approval rating has dropped to 35%, I believe, in the public policy polling effort. So that indicates she's got a problem there. But at the same time, the poll has these other interesting results. They run her against a generic Democrat. They don't name Sarah Gideon. They don't name Betsy Sweet. They don't name any of the Democrats, just a generic Democrat. And lo and behold, the race is within the margin of error. So you look at that and go, well, what does that really mean going forward? It really means who the Democrats nominate is going to be crucial, that not every Democrat that can be nominated is going to get the support that they need to knock off this incumbent senator. So that's going on. And the Morning Consult poll shows the same thing. She's lost this approval rating, and a lot of that goes to what we've been talking about with the dark money groups. I mean, they've been hammering away not only with television ads, but with an incredible amount of ads on the internet, through Facebook, through Twitter, all of them attacking Collins, attacking Collins, attacking Collins, attacking Collins. That's going to have an impact. Now we're seeing some groups come on that are supporting Collins, that are independent expenditures, talking about what great things she's done, like the most recent one is on her efforts with the Diabetes Caucus in the Senate. Who's not in favor of trying to curb diabetes? I mean, you know, it's one of those motherhood and apple pie issues, and those are out there on that side. We're going to see a lot of maneuvering by these groups to try to affect this coming election. To Steve's point on the polls that Senator Collins conducted, you know, we got some real issues here. Where are we going with impeachment? How does that interplay with the Kavanaugh vote? One of the things that I learned from Senator Ed Muskie when I interviewed him many years ago was he said, you know, people can disagree with you on one issue or two issues or three issues, but if they think you're doing the right job, you're trying to do the right job, they'll still vote for you. And I think that's the situation the Democrats have to worry about, because they may be able to get people who say, she was wrong on Kavanaugh, she was wrong on impeachment, but you know, she's done right on these other things. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, that may explain why when you run a generic Democrat against her, it's really a did he.
Yeah, I'll just add two things to that. One is that I thought the choice to just run a generic Democrat in the head-to-head in the public policy polling was interesting, but it may make some sense if you think about it in the sense that really not that many people know who Sarah Gideon is right now, I mean, outside of the State House. So to get a real measurement of where Collins would sit against the Democrat, any Democrat, is hard to do when a lot of people are going to look at that name, Sarah Gideon, and go, I don't know who that is. I mean, and to that point, Sarah Gideon's campaign is going to slowly, and it's just starting now, start to introduce herself to Maine voters. She's going up on the television ads this week. I think it's a pretty small buy, but may that will increase over time. On the public policy polling, the thing that I was struck by was that Senator Collins is in a pickle, because it suggests that in a general election, if she votes against impeachment to remove the president, her chances in the general election diminish significantly. If she votes for impeachment or removal, she's really vulnerable to getting a Republican primary challenger. So where do you go if you're Senator Collins and you're in that position?
It's pick your poison, I guess, at that point.
Thread the needle very carefully. Yeah.
That's right.
So how much attention do you think the Collins campaign is paying to these polls? She's insisted forever that she doesn't gauge the political winds. She doesn't care about political pressure and making these difficult decisions.
Come on, of course she does. I mean, I've never asked her a poll question where she didn't know about the poll I was talking about and knew it pretty well. So, I mean, how much it influences her decision on particular issues, that's another matter. But that she pays attention to the polls, I mean, believe me, she does.
And her campaign proved it. I mean, they went out three times in the last quarter alone in polling. I think in July was one, and then twice in September when everything was hitting the fan in D.C.
The Morning Consult poll I looked at, she's second most unpopular behind only Mitch McConnell.
Right. And also in an interview with Mal fairly recently, she's also vowed to support him if the Republicans are able to keep the majority, and she would vote for him as majority leader. And Democrats were very quick to point that out, that response. What a change for Senator Collins, who has long been one of the most popular politicians in Maine and in the country. And this is a real slip.
It all goes to Donald Trump. I mean, all of her problems are stemming from the president and his machinations. You know, this week, she and just about all, every Republican senator is blasting him on the Syria decision. She's been very critical of him on many issues. So, you know, she's trying to thread a needle here where she doesn't alienate the Trump base in Maine, which is significant, and at the same time still be able to attract enough independent voters to get reelected.
Interesting side note here. This also looked at popularity, unpopularity of governors. And there's an interesting finding here in Maine, Steve. Maine Governor Janet Mills is in the dubious top 10 of unpopular.
And that's a little bit surprising, I mean, because she's only been in office for, well, 9 months.
Which is usually the honeymoon period.
That's right. And that's not the case for her. It's not clear to me exactly what's driving that. I can speculate, right? Which is you have a massively unpopular project in this CMP transmission line, which the governor has gotten behind. We have received no polling on that, you know, none that is independently commissioned. I don't know if it's her association with that project that's driving that unpopularity or if it's simply reflective of the session that we just had where Democrats were in control. The governor was, you know, signed a lot of bills that Republicans certainly didn't like. And maybe that's driving this unfavorable rating that she has. I mean, she's still a little bit above water in that sense. If I'm the governor, I might be a little worried about that because it appears as though she didn't get a honeymoon period at all.
Has this happened historically, Mal?
Well, yeah, it has happened. And what we've seen here is the Republicans have been hammering her on every single vote they don't like. They have not just hammered on a few. Every single one, we get a press release from Senate leadership, House leadership, Republican Party, et cetera. So I think that's part of it. I disagree with Steve. I think I saw a Morning Consult poll in the first of the year where she was doing pretty well then. But so her honeymoon was very short, and I think it's over now, and I think it's going to continue to be over because this coming legislative session is going to be very contentious with the Republicans trying to use what votes they have to block the Democrats' agenda.
The first thing you do when you're elected is you have to build a government, and that takes a lot of effort. And you could argue that that's where she spent a lot of her time, was building this government. Now, what we haven't seen yet is actually like a huge push on what her priorities are. We've seen hints of that, climate change, you know, bolstering DHHS and getting staffed up over there, expanding Medicaid. But we really haven't seen what her big policy push is going to be. And you can bet that it's going to be unpopular with Republicans, despite the fact that Janet Mills is, by all accounts, a relative moderate. But they're going to find a way to find things to pick apart. And as Mal pointed out, it's the governor is not up for re-election next year, but the legislature is. And this is where they make their stand.
One finding also in the poll, Angus King, I guess, continues to be in the top 10 in terms of popularity among senators. Probably not news there.
Not news there, but what's interesting is he's been able to maintain that. Collins used to be in that category. She was up there in the top 10 for quite a while. And because of all of the attacks and the incredible campaign against her on everything negative that anyone can bring up, she's gone down.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, is that King is not really treading that carefully when dealing with the president. He ostensibly responds to the same constituency that Senator Collins does, and he's been pretty tough on the president, and he doesn't seem to be paying much of a price for it.
That's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. You can download new versions of The Pulse each Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Willis Ryder Arnold is our producer. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Keith Shortall, in for Erwin Gratz.